One of the most frustrating feelings for the average man is that of helplessness as he attempts to deal with government that seems ever to grow bigger and more centralized. He watches in near helplessness as Big Brother determines more and more what's best for him and at the same time grows more distant. The average citizen throws up his hands in dismay whenever he contemplates the possibility of having to deal with the federal government, the state government, or even the governments of most large cities. The saying that you can't fight City Hall is usually an understatement. Most of the time, you can't even find who it is in City Hall you want to fight. Bigness in itself is no sin, but nevertheless, in this country, we've always tried to see that nothing got so big it became unmanageable. For that reason, we have antitrust laws aimed at keeping bigness in business and industry from becoming all-encompassing. Unfortunately, on another front, organized labor, we've done nothing to stop unions from getting so big and so powerful they become the masters rather than the servants of their members and often pose a threat to the stability of our entire economy. And on still another front, government. We've voted into office year after year legislators and executives who push for bigger, more powerful government and more centralized authority, all in the name of doing what is best for the people. So, while we don't like it, we must admit that much of the fault is our own. We've complained about big government, but then we voted for it. One reason probably is that many voters have fallen for the old line that small government is ineffective, is unable to deal with our problems, is inefficient, and is expensive. We've been told that only big government, with its accompanying high salaries, attracts competent managers and honest legislators. Well, don't you believe it. One of the things we did in California in 1973 was to put to work a task force to study the possibility of local government reform, to see if, in fact, we could get better and more responsive government by consolidating some of our very small units of government. We had seen a 1966 study by the Committee for Economic Development, which in brief advocated fewer and larger governments, reduction of duplication and overlap, and provision of one visible center of authority. And on the surface, that looked pretty good. If by consolidating governments you can make a government more effective and more responsive to the citizens' needs, then that's the way to go. But our task force refused to take that 1966 study as gospel. Instead, it began its study from scratch. And after nearly a year's work, this is what it found. And I quote, "A system of highly flexible and independent local government units is as capable or more capable of providing the quality of service that people expect than is a centralized and consolidated government system," unquote. It goes on to say that consolidation of local governments would actually produce a system less likely to provide public services of a quality and at a cost that suit the diverse preferences of the average citizen. In other words, bigger, when it comes to government, isn't necessarily better or cheaper. The next time someone tells you that consolidated government or regional government is the only way to go, just remember that song from Porgy and Bess. It ain't necessarily so. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And welcome to Sound Off. Kenny Ennie and Darcia Stebbins in studio here.
Happy New Year.
Start off the new year, 2026. It's here.
Buckle up.
Buckle up, Buttercup is right. How about, let's see, law and order, energy planning resources, fraud, waste, and abuse. It's going to be an interesting year. What do you think?
I think it will be an interesting year. I think I'm optimistic for most of the country. I'm not optimistic for us.
Except for California.
those of us caught behind the Iron Curtain. You heard about Mondami. Did you Did you hear any of his acceptance speech?
He was
sworn in by an atheist socialist.
The warmth, I think, I'll get the exact quote.
But here's my quote. It's probably the same one. This is the one that I'm afraid sums up what we're going to be facing in California. And this was Mondami's comment during his speech. He says, "We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism." I think that kind of sums up the concept that we're facing in California.
In your military, illustrious military career, you've seen a lot of what communism has placed in and what that actually means to humanity. And frankly, I mean, I was able to go to the Soviet Union when it was the Soviet Union.
Really? Why?
Not on honeymoon like Bernie Sanders, I'll have you know. No, actually as a semester abroad during college. And I can tell you that, I mean, when we left, we went to Leningrad when it was Leningrad, now known as St. Petersburg. And we went to Moscow and we did quite a bit of touring around, but they would make sure that you were watched and tracked and traced the entire time. And when we left, it was a very interesting experience when we left and the wheels were up on the airplane going into Warsaw, from Moscow to Warsaw.
What years was it?
Clapping and cheering.
What years?
That was 1984.
Oh, yeah.
Summer of 84.
I did a year abroad in 1984, too. I was in France, though.
We might have seen each other.
Probably not.
We did spend some time in France. We toured 13 different countries, mostly the Northern European countries. And it was an international business institute is what it was labeled as. So we were comparing and contrasting economic policies, procedures, the stock exchanges. Went to the London School of Economics. It was an eye-opening and very, very, I mean, it did frame a lot of what I currently believe and know today, having to do with the way different countries are run and their economic policies. And here we are in California, and it's not all that different.
No, it's going to be an interesting year.
Anywhere communism has been tried, people die.
Yeah, I'm a glasses half full kind of guy. At least I try to be.
Okay.
And so I always look at the silver lining when it's there. So, you know, we're looking at what are we up to fraud wise in Minnesota? It's like $9 billion. You know,
just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, Carl DeMaio had a podcast the other day. And it's starting to hit the news, but we're at $76 billion now in unaccounted funds. You heard about Newsom and Bonta dropping the lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Transportation over withholding $4 billion for the high-speed rail. Do you want to know why?
Oh, please do.
They didn't want to do disclosure.
That's absolutely correct. And the same with a lot of, I know about the Dominion.
The little bit of disclosure that did come out in that lawsuit.
Oopsie.
They've got $18 billion and they have no receipts for it.
Oopsie.
And
we're laughing only because it's so egregious.
Well, the audacity.
No one would put up with it. It's almost like it's by design. So.
Well, it's not. Well, it is by design, but, you know, you've got such a group of sheeple in California now.
Where do you think the money's going?
I think it's in the pockets of politicians and politicians' friends. So, who was it? Was it Feinstein's husband that was that was deeply involved with that early on? And I think Boxers.
Construction company.
I think it was Boxers as well. Her husband was deeply involved in it. So anyways, you know, we got stuff like that in California. That is, you know, there's silver linings in that. And I'm hoping eventually, I've always viewed California as sort of a crackhead. And it's got to, you know, we collectively as a state have to hit rock bottom before we wake up and decide we're going to check ourselves into the clinic, the democracy clinic.
Well,
but right now, between the billionaire tax that's driving people away.
It's like the Hotel California. You can check in, but you can't ever leave.
Yeah. But between this fraud that's coming out, the $24 billion in unaccounted funds for homeless. I forgot the other ones, $18 billion for high-speed rail, $24 billion for homeless. I got the list here somewhere. I'll pull it up during the show. But people are going to start waking up because you're going to you can handle all the exciting news about oil, and whereas the rest of the country looks like economically it's going to recover, people are predicting for the state of California it's going to be a recession.
Well, you know,
our unemployment's higher than anywhere else in the country, and they predict it's projected to go up.
Shocking. So you know that I have been involved with the New California State movement, specifically related to elections, because that was one of the groups that I said, okay, they actually do see what's happening here and have a way forward for the state of California. And we can go into whether or not it can ever happen. And all I'm saying is, what else do you have in mind? Because California, I follow the LAO report, which is the legislative analyst report, comes out every month on the 10th. I follow what's happening at the state level with the finances. Susanna Luthi does a great job of bringing some of that on Mondays. And at the state level, we have the controller who last year, and I mean, I was saying this last year, that there was an internal control audit. And basically, they were saying, you can't trust the financial statements of the state of California. We cannot verify the liabilities. And when you can't verify the liabilities and you can't verify the internal controls in an audit, it's anybody's guess as to how big the liabilities, how large it actually is. And it's just like when come out with the fraud, waste, and abuse for these different projects. I mean, who would guess that when our county changes the priorities, thank you, Bruce Gibson, changes the priorities from economic development and roads to homelessness, who would guess that there might be fraud, waste, and abuse?
Shocked.
Uh-huh. And there's something like 20 different programs, and it's $90 million that goes to the homeless and direct entities, you know, monies going directly to homelessness and some indirectly to homelessness. And, you know, it's...
Well, I think, again...
And it's gone down.
Again,
we're so excited there's maybe 30 less homeless people.
Yeah, but again, looking at the silver lining, the glass is half full. The federal government, now you have a federal government, and this is why when you and I have talked, I've always said, you know, why are you wasting your time talking to local... You know, district attorneys or state officials. If there's federal money involved, the feds have a right to come in and look. And
well,
that's
I'm
the
so
fight.
I'm so glad that you've brought that
that's
up.
That's the fight that's forming right now. You had Pam Bondi on the 31st or yesterday, whatever day it was. But she said, you know, hey, we're going to come and look at all these states. And, you know, California, they're losing their high-speed rail money. All the Tesla drivers, they're not gonna get as much money for their charging stations that were subsidized. You have school districts like Paso Robles
that are challenging Title IX.
Yeah, that are challenging Title IX, and that are at risk of losing. You know, for Paso, it's potentially $5.2 million is what we would lose in federal funding. But this is shaping up to be a WWF match. And
should we go into Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution?
If you would like it. We haven't done that this year yet, so let's go ahead.
All right. Article 4, Section 4, it's called the Guarantee Clause, and in that the United States, every state in the Union, the United States shall guarantee every state in the Union three things. A Republican form of government, meaning representation. Do we have that in California? With a supermajority Democrat? No. The second thing is freedom from invasion. We are a sanctuary state, and there's issues with ICE. We'll get into that. That's the second one. Do we have that in California? No. The third one is protection against domestic violence. So when we have all of these things coming together and people finally realize, hey, this is called a taking. We're paying taxes. We're being taxed more and more and more and more. and then school bonds pass, and all of these local measures pass. Every city, every county, every school district, every governmental agency is trying to reach out there and get more money.
Okay. Thank you for the Article 4, Section 4. Got it. But
Republican form of government, freedom from invasion, protection against domestic
violence. I think those are all probably open for subjective interpretation. But where I was going was that.
Back to you, Ken.
Yeah. Where I was going was when you look at that federal money and you look at how that federal money, let's just look at the high speed rail. Again, you have $18 billion, and I think they'd already gotten some matching funds from the feds, but I think it was only like $1 or $2 billion. When you read what Pam Bondi and people in the U.S. Department of Justice are looking at is RICO Act violations. And the fact that, you know, you have taxpayer dollars, whether it's, you know, the high-speed rail or whether it's daycare centers in Minneapolis or school districts in California, you know, that money comes into from the federal government into an area to provide specific services. That money is not properly monitored, and it's looking like it's not properly monitored specifically, so that money can be filtered out to basic
NGOs.
Basic groups, NGOs that protected are sympathetic classes. Are sympathetic to the Socialist Democrat Party of America, and they pass that money back to them in the form of donations. And very compelling article in Newsmax earlier this week, showing that and talking about the corruption in Minnesota. And again, you know, for those that haven't seen it, there's a meme, a cartoon going around. It's a giant iceberg, and the above the water is maybe a tenth of the iceberg, and it says Minnesota
with a Somali flag
with Somali flag on top, and then it's got the USS taxpayer
as the Titanic
running into the iceberg, and then below the water line, which is probably 10 times bigger than the Minnesota iceberg on top, is it says California. And again, when they've uncovered so far $76 billion worth of fraud in California, somebody's going to have some splaining to do.
Well, and when I see even, so Donald Trump on his True Social account has been putting out, he's been very active, we'll just put it that way. There's more fraud in California than there is in Minnesota, if that is even possible. When you add in election fraud, then they are tied for first. Two crooked governors, two crooked states. And we open the year with our first caller. Good afternoon. Welcome to Sound Off. Our
hey,
first caller
back,
of the year.
A little more local. The Templeton, what I'd like to know your input or your opinion about the Templeton Library asking for county funds.
It's everywhere. I can tell you that the government agencies and Templeton Library, as I understand it, is not publicly funded by government funds unless they request it. So they work off of donations, and I think that libraries are great. I think public libraries are great, but they need to be able to be supported and funded. So perhaps they want to do some additional funding, and I've heard the arguments that why does every community need to have a public library? But I think there, if there's viability there, you know, perhaps they can merge with another public library. But if there are a lot of people that attend, you know, and go there and support the library, it should stay open. But then again, oh, someone calling in.
Well,
what's
yeah,
your opinion,
well,
Kenny?
Is, who, I mean, it sounds like poor planning to me. Why well, start a project? I think it said somewhere in the Bible that, you know, you shouldn't start a project unless you can finish it.
We used to call it the 7 P's. Prior proper planning prevents poor performance.
Oh, there you go.
it, interestingly enough, one of the laws that went into effect on the first was AB 1825, Collection Development Policy. Public libraries must establish policies. I'll finish this when I get back, but I think libraries are making themselves obsolete by some of the stuff they're doing right now.
Really? All right. We'll hear about it.
Yep. Thanks for your call. We'll catch you on the other side, and we'll continue that conversation.
Bye.
It's the time of the year that we reflect on how quickly the days, months, and years fly by. It's the end of one new year and the beginning of a new one. We think about the resolutions we made, the ones we kept, and the ones we didn't. Well, as the new year begins, it's time to clean the slate and resolve again. Well, here at Davis Body Shop, our New Year's resolutions haven't changed in over 50 years. And that's why we're still here, while others have come and gone. You see, our New Year's resolutions are simple. Being honest and fair, giving you the best value, and making sure your experience is a pleasant one. Oh, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee? That says it all. Happy New Year from the Davis family. Davis Body Shops on El Camino Real, downtown Atascadero, and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
We're here to help. At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
The Wednesday Farmers Market on East Mall in Atascadero is now operating with winter hours 3 to 5. Buy fall and winter produce, strawberries, leafy greens, winter squash, artichokes, avocados, honey, meat, and so much more. You can even get fresh baked bread, pies, scones, and tamales. And if you can't make it Wednesday, swing by another North County Farmers Market in Paso Robles on Tuesday, Templeton on Saturday, or Baywood on Mondays. Farmers Market, open rain or shine. Check out social media for live updates.
All right, we're back. So to finish my thought and the caller discussing the caller's question and on the library funds. Right now, the state of California, one of the new laws that's going into effect as of yesterday was AB 1825, Collective Development Policy. Public libraries must establish policies, submit them to the state librarian, and create a formal process for reconsideration of materials. And then it specifically goes into protection against book bans, and basically the law prohibits removing materials, you know, based off of, sex,
content,
stuff like that, which has been a big issue of protest by
the school district. You
well,
know, people,
by conservatives,
boards,
traditionalists in the country. And my thought on this is, you know, when I was a kid, I probably went to the public library in our town every afternoon after school. And I would spend 30, 45 minutes there. And it was considered a safe space. You know, you could go in, you could get your work done. But we didn't have the internet. You know, if I had to go and find encyclopedias, I would have to go to the public library and look at the encyclopedias.
And we all knew the Dewey Decimal System.
And everybody knew the Dewey Decimal System. I mentioned that to my kid the other day, and he looked at me like I had grew a third eyeball. But when I look at things like this law that went into effect yesterday, where they're basically telling the local libraries that you are not allowed to ban any sort of material that may be offensive to the local community, my thought is that the local community is probably going to stop frequenting that library. And if libraries...
And less support, less financial support.
Right.
And
so if Templeton Library is short funds, but Templeton Library now is required by law to put materials out that a lot of the community may find offensive, I suspect that this is just the beginning of financial issues that Templeton Library and other small libraries are going to have around the state. Again, it's another self-inflicted gunshot wound, thanks to Sacramento and the radicals that are running the state.
Well, when the government is your partner, prepare for a dictatorship.
Yeah, you got, you know.
So just like Mondami in New York City, I mean, if you were a landlord, and I actually have clients who have properties indirectly through New York City. I mean, Donald Trump is all about New York City. And when you basically are saying to the landlords in New York City, you will, you know, there's rent, wages, rent control, and you will do this and you won't do this, and we're going to legislate this and you have to do these things, what happens? The quality goes down. Mm-hmm. And it's not financially viable. And so then you end up with the ghettos. Then you end up with... So when this the warmth of collectivism starts to take hold...
It's warm right as...
It's insanity.
They're putting the pillow over your face and smothering you.
So. People recognize that it's insanity. So I believe 2026 will be a year of law and order. I think everyone is waiting and waiting and waiting, not so patiently now, for accountability. And people go, we know it's out there. We know the fraud, waste, and abuse is out there. Where are the arrests? Where's the jail time? Where's the perp walks? And I believe a lot of that has already happened and is happening, and making sure that they have all of the investigation that needs to happen.
Well,
but people are singing. They may not be taking voice lessons, but people are singing.
Again, you know, back to the glass is half full, silver lining. The fact that this is coming out, 2026 is an election year. And again, I'm not sure whether we in California will make a dent in the commies that control Sacramento. But in the rest of the country, what I find interesting, particularly now that this fraud stuff is starting to come out, the Democrats are circling the wagons. They're not condemning it.
doubling down is what I think been referred to.
Doubling down, circling the wagons. But I think the average American right now is trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to pay for my kids' college and this? And I'm paying all these taxes to the feds and the states and the local bureaucrats, and this is how they're taking care of my dollars?
I say send them to trade school. Be much better off. Let's build things again.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. All right, long break. We'll be back at about 1:08.
Colin, let us know what you think for this year, and 238-5775. We'll be back after the break.
AM
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.